call. Commissioner Blassett.
Here.
Commissioner Brewer.
Here.
Commissioner Beard.
Here.
Commissioner McCarville.
Here.
Commissioner Ritter.
Commissioner Bevin.
Commissioner Bassalone.
Here.
Counsel Lakey.
Here.
Administrator Squire.
Here.
All right, we have a motion to confirm the agenda.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner McCarville and a second by Commissioner Ritter. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Sounded unanimous. On to the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the September 26, 2018 regular meeting and the September 2018 administrator's report.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve.
Second.
So a motion by Commissioner Beard and a second by Commissioner Brewer. Any discussion? That can be just a voice vote. All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That sounded unanimous as well. All right, on to the Main Street Market wrap up.
Great timing.
Don't waste a minute. You're already efficient.
Yes. Yeah, go for it. I'm actually probably going to just turn it over to Sheree and Brittany both. I don't have much to present. They're going to give a wrap up, and then you already had in the board packet a draft agreement for the next 2 years for MPC to support the Main Street Market in the same way that we have for the last 3 years. And so I will turn it over to Sheree and Brittany, and then answer any questions you might have about the agreement.
One for me. I want to thank you guys for giving us this opportunity to host the market and be a supporter of it. It was fantastic.
And I'm Sheree. And I think it went really well. We got some really good response, and our vendors loved it, and a lot of the guests that we had come through loved it. They don't have to leave us on Lucy anymore. So that's a good plus.
That's good. So we need our minimum for the season was 28 vendors, is what we had to have. We ended up having 65 registered. We averaged about 36 to 40 every weekend. So we were really happy with that.
We did get a couple good write ups in Iowa Press. They came and interviewed us at the beginning of the season and they did a closing interview. And then, I can't remember his name, the weather reporter from Channel 7, sorry. That wasn't Larry, it was Jim. Thank you. Sure, like, he came out and just him being here for the morning and the live shot, we even had people that came down like 20 minutes after the live shot aired. I didn't even know you guys were down here. So that was a really good exposure to have Jim Dupuy here. So we're going to see if we can come in earlier next year or halfway through the season again and work on doing a little bit more advertising this year through TV, radio, and press, hopefully. So
We still incorporated our youth vendors. We had about 18 registered, and they had a wonderful time. The feedback from them unanimously was fantastic.
Thinking about future years, Sheree and Brittany have lots of plans to grow the market, as you would expect. And we talked about potentially putting the market out on Main Street. And after talking with Sheree and Brittany, after talking with some others around the city, I think we're going to be keeping it where it is, at least for right now, and probably closing all of Broadway between Meridian and Main Street, and then also using front parking lot here at City Hall to kind of expand our vendors and food vendors. It's a really a great spot. The one thing that is nice about this is that it connects to Meridian Road, which is the main thoroughfare. And so I think there's a lot to be said for the exposure that it gets when, as people are driving by, they kind of, say, what's going on down that road? And so there's a lot of people that drive by that if it was on Main Street, might not be able to see that it's there. And so for the time being, we're talking about leaving it there on Broadway and the front parking lot. I'm not too concerned about the name, the Main Street Market. We're right there on Main Street. And then Sheree and Brittany, I wasn't expecting it, but they are planning on expanding the dates next year. And so potentially starting as early as April.
Weather permitting.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
And wanting to go into October next year. And so I'm really happy about that. The agreement still says between the same dates that we had this last year. And so that's kind of the guarantee window that a market will be hosted, but there's really nothing that needs to be, you know, modified in the agreement to allow them to expand on, I don't think. So as long as we are providing the market on those dates, we're just going to expand it from there. Anything else?
Questions?
Comments?
Yes.
I like the idea of closing off from Main Street and Meridian Road. I think you get visibility on both ends. Are you going to put up some signage directing people where to park for a Main Street market, being that many people use the City Hall parking lot as their parking area? But, you know, we have all that area on the east side of Main Street going down Broadway. We have the BRT parking lot. You know, we have other parking lots around. But kind of direct people, you know, where to go.
Yeah,
so they see it all in the
streets. You know, my experience this year is I came down to the market several times, you know, and I parked in the front parking lot every time because I knew that it was open. I didn't see that used very much at all, personally. I mean, when I was there, I don't know that I ever saw more than 10 vehicles in the front parking lot. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that Broadway was partially closed and we did have a big type 3 barricade out here on Broadway and Main that said road closed to through traffic, and I think that deterred a lot of people from turning down that road in the first place. And so we can certainly do some, you know, some parking notification, but I think people found, you know, parked over in the city employee parking lot or in the Bain parking lot quite a bit.
Yeah, people who know the downtown area know where they can park. I'm just thinking of people in transit on those roads who may not be familiar with downtown, and also it gives them an advertisement. There is a market here.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. You know, put a Main Street Market parking right here on the
just all the signs.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chair. I guess you could also talk to him about your collaboration with the Downtown Business Association and their involvement.
Yeah, MGBA was really supportive promoting the market for us, and then they actually had a booth. They were one of our sponsors last year, and they promoted the MGBA with the different businesses. So we had the library there, we had Deja Vu there, we had New Design there. So they were really good about promoting us. Lindsay was great too. Lindsay was really great because she was always posting that she was here, not just as an MGBA member, but also as a guest. So she was always posting that she was here and what she was buying at the market and all of that. So they were really supportive of promoting the market, getting word out. So that was a really great collaboration with them. So.
I have a question.
Yeah.
It was mentioned in your report too, but is there plans, or what are your plans to expand the produce offerings at the market?
Yes, we since we got the contract a little bit late in the year, a lot of our produce vendors were kind of already allocated. Some of the feedback was when we reached out to a few were, oh, if we would have known sooner, we could have planned. So this year we will be asking sooner, and I think we'll be getting a good response to that. We also had youth vendors too that decided to bring produce as part of their booth, in addition to what they were already doing, which was really neat. And I'm sure some of them are going to want to expand on that as well.
So I know for myself that's a big reason why I go down there. Mm-hmm. You know, every week I want to buy something like that. I don't necessarily want to buy one of the other items that are there every week. I might buy it once a summer, but every week I would go down and buy produce.
I'm really hoping that we get back our main produce vendor from last year.
Yeah.
So Cackleberry Farms, you reached out to them this spring. I talked to them personally and tried to give them the hard sell, but they already had several other things that were going on in their business that they were working on. And you know, I think for the first 2 years of the youth farmers market, they didn't do as well as what they could have done this year probably. So they weren't seeing the benefit quite as much. Hoping that the word will get to them that it's growing and that there is going to be a lot more value in coming, but we'll definitely be reaching out to them to try and get them back.
I have lots of cards, different produce vendors from downtown, so we'll start reaching out as soon as we can, probably after the holidays, and try and convince them that it's worthwhile to have. If they have a booth downtown in Boise, that we're busy enough and we have enough of exposure and that Meridian is growing fast enough, that there probably would be enough guests for them to be able to support two markets. So, because everybody that we had, because we had Waterwheel, which was a duplicate, and Gaston's, which was a duplicate, and they both did really well in two locations. We had Gaston's didn't show up the last 2 weeks, and we actually had guests that were kind of a little perturbed that they weren't there because they plan on them being there every weekend. So it's nice to see that we had, you know, we had other people that would come by and go, hey, Noodle Max isn't here, where are they? Well, it's one of our youth vendors. They took the weekend off, and the gentleman was really disappointed because they bring cupcakes for him every weekend. So he was one of the first vendors that we were, first guests that we had that was a little irritated that we didn't have a certain vendor. And he ended up being a pretty, he was a regular every time and loved being there. So that was kind of neat to see how he was a little upset at the beginning because he wasn't sure what to expect, and then became one of our biggest supporters towards the end of the season. So
one of the other success stories, I would call it, from this summer is Little Kitchen Pastries started with the market this year,
okay.
And they were thrilled with, I mean, they did really well. I mean, they were sold out pretty much every week, and yeah, there was one or 2 weeks that they didn't show up.
There's one weekend.
Where's
the sticky buns?
Yeah, so they, you know, it was their first experience with the farmer's market, and, you know,
she loved it.
Yeah, she was very happy with her experience. And so, and I also would mention that I was really happy with the entertainment that was here every week. There were, you know, bands and the African, what was the name of that dance troupe that came through?
Amali.
There was a really cool, you know, there's entertainment pretty much every week, and I think that goes a long way to kind of set the atmosphere of the events. And so they've talked about, you know, having something here, but then having maybe something else at the other end of the event to make sure that we're filling up the entire space with some music, because you couldn't hear what was going on in here in the plaza out on the road. So
one other thing that really struck me is, you know, by expanding the vendor list from the youth were still there, and they were a lot more successful, but there were families there, and, I mean, family vendors. It was really cool to see that. Fro Coffee was hilarious.
Lydia's delights, and she was featured on the news, and she was the funniest little girl. She makes, did you ever talk to her? She's like the most outgoing little girl, has her little baker's hat on. And
she has the little chef hat and the apron and hair braids, and she was, her goal was to save enough money selling her product to the market so she could buy a KitchenAid, so she didn't have to use her mom's, she'd have her own KitchenAid and make her product. So she had a goal. And it was really cute because one of our other vendors, Dee's Room Cakes, was watching the sales on Amazon and Kohl's and Shopko and all those to let her know when the KitchenAid came on sale so that she could get it at a better price. So it was nice to see the vendors work together. You know, someone had to go to the bathroom, they watched the other person's booth. There was a lot of going back and forth and supporting, and that was kind of cool to see too. So.
Are there any further questions?
You guys.
We'll move on to our next item, which is the reservation of the agreement for the sponsorship. Sounds like you are aware of your number on this.
Yeah, so Mr. Chairman, the agreement's in your main packet here, and it, as Colin described, is essentially the same agreement we've had previously. It's just updating the terms for the next 2 years, and the contract. $10,000.
rest pretty much being the same. So, happy to answer questions if you have them.
Mr. Chair, I'm glad to see it's a two-year agreement. I think something like this needs stability. And I think, you know, for the vendors and for the sponsors, having that stability for 2 years, I think is great. I think it's going to help the market grow tremendously.
Agreed. And I'll just say, just for clarification, you know, this agreement is with the city. The city has every intention of turning, you know, this around. And instead of last year where we went out for an RFP to select our market vendors, I think everybody was extremely pleased with how Cherie and Brittany put on the market. And so we are not planning on conducting another RFP process. We're just planning on extending our current agreement with Cherie and Brittany for another 2 years in the exact same way that we had it this year. So,
well, if there's no further comments or questions or anything, Council, like you, would you mind reading the title of the resolution?
Happy to, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 18043, resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the agreement to provide financial support for the Meridian Main Street Market in downtown Meridian between the Meridian Development Corporation and the City of Meridian, authorizing the Chairman, Vice Chairman, and Secretary to sign the agreement, authorizing any technical changes to the agreement, directing the Administrator to take any necessary action required to implement the agreement, and providing an effective date.
Thank you.
That we approve resolution number 18-043 as written to the record by council.
So a motion by Commissioner Bassel and a second by Commissioner Bevin. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. And for the record, also Commissioner Mueller joined us 5 minutes or so ago. Roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin?
Aye.
Commissioner Bassel?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
Colin.
All right, on to item number 7.
So, Mr. Chairman, board members, we've been to a couple of city council meetings lately, and the most recent one we attended, the city conducted their hearing on the sale of the old City Hall property. It was a late night. We were in front of some other exciting things that the city had going on. Or I should say behind.
Behind.
We just wanted you to appreciate these meetings.
Yes. Always good to gain an appreciation. But the city voted unanimously, which I was pleasantly surprised, to sell the property for the $565,000 to the Meridian Development Corporation. The city had obtained an appraisal which had a little bit higher value in the appraisal, but appraisals differ and we really didn't get into the nuances or the differences. It was more, yes, it's in the ballpark and, you know, they recognize the benefit that would come from selling the property to MDC. So they voted to sell the property at that amount. The real estate agreement that we have is what was prepared by the city. I made a couple of adjustments and suggestions to it, but I'll go through it right now with you. And this is what we'll put the agreement in place with the city to follow up on their ordinance and decision to sell the property to MDC. So, looking at the second page, the closing date, based on the schedule and things for potential development of the property, is February 28th of next year. So the city, I think, and MDC and even the developers recognize it's good to have somebody in the building until they're ready to knock things over. And so that's where that date came from. The purchase price is the $565,000 that needs to be paid in full at closing. So we don't have to put any money in escrow or anything like that. have a 30-day review period on the title, on the title report. There will be a title policy issue. We pay for the title policy. Otherwise, we split the closing costs equally. There's a 60-day inspection period, but you know, we've kind of looked at it, and everybody knows the building's going to be knocked over, so there's not a lot to inspect that way. The developer's done some of their due diligence, and we'll talk about that in the next agreement. Instead of having, and I like this idea, this came from city attorney from Ted Baird, we're going to have a right of reversion in our deed, but rather than have another right of reversion in the deed to us, a right of reversion is if something doesn't happen by this date, you get the property back. And it can create some interesting issues on the deed itself. But the way Ted worded it, it's essentially a right or an option to repurchase. So if we execute this agreement and for some reason things go sideways with the developer and we exercise their reversion clause and we take the property back, if we take the property back, then the city has a right to repurchase the property and basically pay the same price for it, give us the $565 back. So I thought that was a good approach. That protects the city's ability to get the property back if we get it back and the city wants it back. Otherwise, the real estate agreement is pretty straightforward. The terms are all fairly standard. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
You did miss yesterday's city council meeting.
I did.
The latest one.
I tried to skip.
Yeah.
I'll have to get the report later.
Well, if there's no questions, then. Is the resolution on this one? Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, why don't, would you read the title of the resolution, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Resolution 18-04. A resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency in Meridian, Idaho, approving a purchase and sale agreement between the Meridian Development Corporation and the City of Meridian to purchase the old City Hall property, authorizing the execution of the agreement by the Chairman or Vice Chairman and Secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the agreement, authorizing the Administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Motion. Mr. Blasick.
I'll make the motion that we approve resolution number 18-044 as read in by Council.
Motion by Commissioner Blaskin, second by Commissioner Mueller. Is there any discussion? We'll go to a roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Blaskin.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
Commissioner DeVere.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin.
Aye.
Commissioner Bassalon.
Aye.
I am an aye as well. Also, just clarify too, Todd already had a conversation with Rick, I believe, but between the city's council and our council, they decided that Rick's conflict isn't an issue anymore and he's free to vote. So if you're wondering why we called on him, that is why. All right, on to item number 8, consideration of approval of the development agreement for 703 and 713 North Main Street, 33 East Idaho Avenue.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, you had kind of the main version in your packet, and then I handed out some of the more recent changes that's in a red line form. It's not separate aside from your packet. It fills in some of the blanks and also incorporates a couple of the tweaks and discussions I've had with Caleb Group with the Pacific Companies. But Caleb is as blessed to this version, so I'll go through things with you. So the first page, the Pacific Companies technically is it's not a formal entity, it's a conglomeration of companies. And so the two applicable companies that apply to this are Pacific West Communities, Inc. and Pacific West Builders, Inc. So those are the ones that are on the agreement that are bound to the development of the property. But also keep in mind, they also talked about early on, they're going to form a specific LLC that's for this site-specific project. And they'll be owners and controllers of that entity. But they'll be Old City Hall Inc. or LLC or whatever they call it. And what we'll do is add that entity to also be bound by the agreement by an addendum to this. But recognizing we want to keep the Pacific companies that are applicable on the agreement as well. So they're also responsible in addition to the new LLC that will be created. Let's see. So first few pages are adding those. This agreement on page 4, the term of the agreement is through December 31st, 2020, which is a little bit further out than their time frame, but just wanted to make kind of a definitive end date for when things are going to be done and wrapped up and completed. The timeline is in the agreement further that I'll go over. But they also wanted to add the ability, and we have that ability, to extend that time frame if we feel like they have been pursuing things in good faith and something happened to be on their control to be able to meet the timeline. Hurricane whatever makes landfall in Meridian, Idaho, kind of things. Okay. next page, I'll hit the high points on. It's page 8. This deals with the transfer of the property. And this basically says that the transfer of the property from us is contingent upon these things. One, the transfer of the property from the city. So we have to get it from the city and everything's moved along for that, but that's a requirement. They've provided documentation to us in an acceptable form that their funding and things are in place and approved. That they have paid us the $565,000 going to be paid to the city for the property. They're supposed to pay us that amount. The closing is February 28th. They're supposed to pay us that amount by February 1st. So we'll have it in hand. And then if, again, for some reason things blow up and go sideways and the agreement with the city is terminated, but we've received the $565,000, and then they'll have until November 30th of this year to finish up any due diligence that they want to do on the site and raise any questions or concerns. This on page 9, there's the right of reversion that will include that in the warranty deed when we get around to transferring it. And again, there's a clause in there that says we can extend that if they've acted in good faith and they're on time and if there was a delay, it wasn't something not related to their wasn't their fault. Down at the bottom of that page, the $678,000 is the combination of the two numbers from the existing 703 and 713 contribution for improvements, and then the proposed figure in the proposal from Pacific Companies in November whiskey. It's Caleb and I, and I'll talk more about that. It's in Exhibit C when we get to the end, but we changed this to just public improvements. That's defined in the agreement. In November Whiskey's agreement on 703, it was public improvements, but there was some room to work on the facade and do some of those things that aren't as directly infrastructure related because a certain number was needed to help make the project pencil. So in this case, we pulled out the facade aspect, and this is also an estimate. Have to mutually agree to change the estimate, but Caleb said they don't exactly know until they get in there what it's going to cost to move the overhead power lines or to abandon the alley or to do this or that, but that should be a number that's pretty close, maybe a little high, maybe a little low. Next page I'm going to hit on is page 19. And this is the liquidated damages section. So this is what happens if they don't make their timelines. There's up to $1,000 a day in liquidated damages if they go past the timelines. And tried to make the timelines a little bit conservative, not tight, and I can talk about that in a moment. But we also, they wanted to cap that at a maximum of $250,000, with the ability for us, again, to waive those liquidated damages if we feel like they've acted in good faith and the delay wasn't their fault. So, okay with that, from my perspective.
Also,
yes.
What happens with that money? Does that just stay with MDC, or do we have to share it back with?
Nope, with MDC. So this will all be, you know, after we receive the property and closed on it. So all of those liquidated damages just come to MDC, and I don't anticipate, and hopefully we don't go anywhere near that. That provision. And then the total, if they fail to complete the project, then I built in a $1 million liquidated damages amount. So that would mean if, since we're including 703 and 713 and the old city hall, I just pulled that number kind of sort of out of the air, but related to roughly the values or costs there. And we have, in this one, we have the ability to demand, and then they shall pay that amount. They added the clause, well, if we pay the $1 million, then we want to keep the property. So what this does is let us decide, do we want to make them pay the $1 million or not? Or we have the ability to pursue specific performance, which means a court order to finish it. So that's how those two things are structured, okay? Now, next page is page 36. This is Exhibit C that I talked about earlier as far as the public improvements, what we're going to be reimbursing them for. And that includes demolition, site preparation. We still have the clause in there that we could choose to do it and bill them for it, but that's never really been in our plan or discussion, and that's discretionary. Construction, replacement, and repair, or upgrading of any public improvements or infrastructure and any connections thereto, including abandonment of any alleys and underground or removal of overhead utilities. So that's the definition of what is reimbursable. And then I took out the facade part. I initially had in there, we're just going to pay you from the tax increment from January 1, 2019 forward that's generated by that. We've planned in the past to then budgeted some funds to reimburse for those kind of costs with November Whiskey. So they proposed basically three things. We can pay from MDC cash reserves, we can pay from budgeted revenue, or we can pay from the 75%. And then I added the language, or any combination of the above, and it's our discretion to decide how we pay for it and when we pay for it. Okay. The bottom line is, though, we agree to pay that amount by the time we expire. Obviously, hopefully, we'd like to pay it off as soon as we can, but this isn't, in other agreements, sometimes the developer assumes the whole risk, and if you don't have enough money that's reimbursed from your increment over the life, that's your risk. But in this case, we're saying we're going to pay the full amount before we expire. Next page is the timeline. And this pretty much matches their proposal. Due diligence is completed by November 30th. They've got their drawings they're working on. The land use approvals, well, that's end of January. Land use approvals end of February. Again, that's the closing date. They're submitting their building permits in March. They're starting and completing demolition in March, by the end of March. They close on financing on May 31st and obtain their building permits on May 31st. And that's where we'll build in that right of reversion up to the point they get their financing approved. If they don't meet that timeline with their financing, that's where the reversion will start, or that's the point for reversion. After that, we can't mess with their financing and have that in place. Then they're commencing construction by end of May. Completing construction November 30, 2020. And with that, those are the high points I wanted to cover. Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Any questions from Mr. Chair? Maybe I misunderstood you, but you tell me that they're going to form an LLC to actually run that limited liability corporation?
Correct.
We don't know who it is yet, and we're saying that these agreements with an incorporation.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Byrd, yes, the intent is that they'll form an entity that they'll transfer ownership to that entity. They'll run the project costs and things through that entity that's site-specific. The reason we put them on the agreement now is because these are the existing entities in the Pacific companies. And we want to make sure that they will stay and be bound just like the new LLC will be. So all three of them will be.
Them and their financing will still be bound.
Correct.
This LLC don't come in and take its place.
Correct.
They just, their subsidy of Pacific.
Yes.
So it's not an assignment.
I don't have any problem with that, but I have some problems with a limited liability coming in and taking over without holding somebody else to their feet to the fire.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Byrd, exactly, and good thought. If we, for example, they created a new LLC yesterday, and we just had the new LLC on the hook, doesn't really have any history, we don't know what their assets are. That's why we put the Pacific companies, those two, that have the financial wherewithal and the things that we've already reviewed, and the new LLC that they'll form. So they'll all be.
They are basically the ones that are bound.
Sure. Follow up, Commissioner Byrd's question about that. Wouldn't that amendment of the new LLC have to come back before this board to be approved?
That's my intention, is that we would have an opportunity to do an amendment to this and just add the new LLC as an additional participant. So all three will be fully and jointly and severally bound, but we'll add the new LLC by an amendment that we'll both sign, or we'll all three sign.
Following up on that, because they then come back with that amendment, they would have to then include their financing and their this new LLC's viability, so to speak.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Bassalone, I guess we could talk to them about that. What I anticipate is that it's going to be a new LLC, and it's in itself not going to have any financial history. But I anticipate that these entities will be members of that LLC, and again, they'll be bound by that. We can talk to them, or maybe even have Caleb or Josh come in and say, okay, talk to us about the new LLC, how's it going to work, and have that discussion with them. But even if the new LLC has zero in its bank account to start with, we're going to have to infuse it with cash to pay for things, because this is a reimbursement agreement, not a pay up front agreement.
That was my point, was that the new LLC would have to prove it has financing of some sort, whether it's from the existing companies or from some loan that it got.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Bassalone, depending on the timing of that, whether it's financing for the new LLC or for these folks, that's part of what they have to prove to us before we transfer the property.
This is all standard operating procedure. So somebody like Caleb has 40 different properties that he's built. He's partnered with a different person on every single one. You know, some of them are in Seattle, some of them are in Portland. They're all over the place, right? So every single one of those has its own LLC, always. Revenues for it and how it's managed. This is all completely normal.
And it also states limited liability.
Yeah.
questions?
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, before I do that, there's, you know, I'll add the legal description. Those names aren't in here, but we know what those are. We've dealt with them in the past. And then you can read the resolution and approve it today. I want to also let the city council have a chance to look at it. Bill Neri has a copy, and in case they have any questions or tweaks, I don't anticipate they will, but if they do, we may bring it back at the next meeting. But I think we can approve it today, and then just with that understanding, we'll see if the city has any. Chairman and Commissioners, this is Resolution 18-045, Resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving a development agreement between the Meridian Development Corporation, November Whiskey Properties. I didn't update the resolution. I will. And Pacific West Communities, Inc. and Pacific West Builders, Inc. to redevelop the old City Hall property and the properties located at 703 and 713 North Main, authorizing the execution of the agreement by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the agreement, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. We have a motion. Mr. Chair, Mr. Byrd, I move we approve Resolution 18-045 as read into record by council.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Byrd and second by Commissioner McCarville. Is there any discussion? Do a roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
Commissioner DeVere. Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin.
Aye.
Commissioner Bassalone.
Aye.
I'm an aye as well.
And give you a round of applause.
With these transactions and the things go forward, two of the three buildings are occupied. What are some of those plans in working on communication and the move out and trying to make that as seamless as possible?
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner DeVere, the February date was put in there to give end of February, again, time to have the folks notified and things communicated between the city and New Ventures Lab, and the opportunity to have somebody in there rather than have the property transferred and sit vacant until things are ready to go. So I think that's been communicated. To my knowledge, I don't think the city has specifically said yet, and maybe Rick can correct me, that the official date is X. As I visited with Rick a little bit, he was wondering about kind of that transition between maybe the end of February and when they're going to start knocking buildings over in March. We can have those conversations with Caleb. I don't think they really want to be landlords for a significant period of time. We could, as a board, keep it a little bit longer till we know when the specific date is going to be that they're going to have equipment in there and knock it over. The challenge is it's more difficult for us to have an agreement in place with a board member as far as potential conflicts of interest go than it would be if we transfer the property and say, for example, Caleb and the Pacific Companies gave New Ventures Lab another 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever to get out after it closed on February 28th. So there's a little bit of room for flexibility. The certain date is February 28th. The flexibility between February 28th and knocking the building over, that part's a little gray still and unknown, and we can talk about that. But I'd say worst case scenario, February 28th.
And the amount
Commissioner DeVere, members of the board, we've had ongoing conversations. They've been very engaged in watching the meetings and making sure that they're aware as to what's going on. They're currently looking for space right now, transitional space for the next couple of years while the project is being built. I've thrown a couple of potential opportunities their way in looking at potential lease space. Nothing is coming to fruition at this time, but they're incredibly supportive of the project and just know that they're going to be prepared to be out by February 28th.
And Mr. Chairman and Commissioner DeVere, I'll add to that. I believe our agreement is for 90 days notice to them. And
so we need to put together a
So we'll do
formal.
The official notification for a minimum of 90 days. But I've also visited with, I think I visited with Josh about this, and he's been in regular communication with Gretchen as well, and said if the window needed to be sooner, Unbound was prepared to do it sooner. But we don't need to do it sooner. So we can let them stay till February 28th and just give them the notice to be moved by then.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know Nick is already, I mean, they're going to move whenever they find, if they find space sooner, they'll just get it over with. But, yeah.
And they're also looking at options that may include putting Unbound in various branches, breaking the different components up if they need to, just to be able to make it through the next couple of years before they can come back and be part of the project. So I think everything's on the table right now for them. We'd like to keep them downtown, though, if we can.
All right, well, on to the next item, number 9, which is a consideration approval of the contract extension for AFPS for administrative services and corresponding resolution 18-046. And my name and Council Lakey. This is a discussion we had in executive committee where we still got about a year left on our contract with Ashley, and that we thought it was the best thing and right thing to do to talk now about extending that rather than waiting until closer to the end of the term or the expiration of the agreement. So where is it in our
It's in the separate handout that I gave you with the resolutions, Mr. Chairman. It's under resolution 1846.
46. So, Council Lincoln, would you maybe go through the
Sure. The
actual agreement?
The agreement is a simple amendment and extension at this point. It recognizes that the current agreement goes through the end of this fiscal year, which is September 30, 2019, and then it has three 1-year, essentially automatic extensions unless somebody objects or the agreement is otherwise terminated pursuant to its terms. So that's it in a nutshell. It's pretty straightforward.
Mr. Chair,
Commissioner Vassalone.
I think it's great to have a 3-year agreement. I am concerned that we cost of living increase is included in that as a benefit as part of that extension. And I'd like to recommend as an amendment to our contract that we include a 4% cost of living increase for the first year and then reopeners for cost of living increases in the succeeding 2 years. In fairness, I'm looking at all the work that our administrator does and will be doing over the next 3 or 4 years. I think not to have that in there is not prudent.
Is the payment in the existing, it's just flat?
Yes, this was, when we initially talked about it, we just talked about the extension. So that's all this is an extension of the current amount. It doesn't build in any automatic increases. But we can certainly do that.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Burke, if that's Commissioner Vassalone, to add that on, just put on an amendment, don't you? An exhibit?
Yes, Yes, what I can do is if, I mean, I can either, we can just talk about adding it today, or I can add it and bring it to the next meeting and do it. I can do it however you would like. I just want to make sure I'm clear on what you're describing, Commissioner Fassler.
First of all, I would recommend that we do it today because I think it's a simple amendment. And I think it's what I'm asking is that we include a 4% cost of living increase, which is reasonable for this time frame that we're currently in and the inflationary values that we're seeing in the economy, and that there be reopeners in the succeeding 2 years of the contract for discussions based on the cost of living at that time.
Okay.
To the contract amount.
Yes, based on the contract.
Contract amount based on that. That's the only thing you see.
Okay. So, let me make sure I understand. We're keeping the same, you're talking about keeping the same amount in place now till the end of the fiscal year, and then with the next extension, a four-year increase, 4%? So you want the 4% increase effective upon this execution?
October 1st, 2018.
Okay. So 4% this year.
All right.
Whenever this contract takes effect.
Have we paid October already?
No.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
So 4% this year, and then leave it open, mention we'll have discussions about cost of living increases in subsequent years.
Cost of living increases in succeeding years based on whatever the economy is moving at.
Okay. I understand that. And a motion, if there's a motion to approve this, you can incorporate that and I'll add the language.
That is a motion.
I'll second it. So, do we need to read the resolution first, or?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Sorry, I got ahead of you. So, if you can wait on the motion until I read the resolution and then make it.
There you go.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, this is Resolution 18-046, Resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency in Redding, Idaho. Extension of the Administrator Professional Services Agreement between the Meridian Development Corporation and AF Public Solutions, LLC, for administrator services for the Urban Renewal Agency, authorizing execution of the agreement by the Chairman or Vice Chairman and Secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the agreement, authorizing the Administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement, and providing an effective date.
All right. Commissioner Beth.
I move that we approve resolution number 18-046 as read into the record, including the amendment.
Second.
All right. The motion with the amendment by Commissioner Bassalone and the second by Commissioner Bird. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
Commissioner Bird.
Aye.
Commissioner Beard.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin.
Bassalone.
Aye. I am an aye as well. So,
thank you.
Ashley,
thank
you're well worth what we paid in. We're glad to have you around for a little bit longer.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate it very much.
Sure.
There's about a kind of a point that I'd like to make is that I've worked with a lot of administrators through my 50 some years in public life, none better than Ashley. So,
thank you.
I look at all of this that's been done. We have two staff doing all of this. I know any other entity would have 10 people working on all of this.
Thank you.
All right, on to the item number 10, the consideration of the CDBG downtown sidewalk bid project.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in your packet, is a memo that I put to you regarding the sidewalk bids that received on October 1st, along with all the bid documents that we did receive. Just to remind the board, we went out to bid on this project in May of this year. We did not receive any bids at that time. So working with Caleb and his team at the city, we determined we would go back out in August and leave it open until October 1st, hopefully to get, you know, better bids and or to get some bids and to get some decent prices. Unfortunately, we received four bids. Unfortunately, the lowest bid is more than double of the budget that we have for construction, which is sitting at $162,000 and change right now. So in meeting with Caleb and his team, we are making the recommendation today to reject these bids, to allow us to go back out to bid in December, leave it open until the end of January, with the hopes of lowering the costs. We know that there's a really solid chance, just given the climate here, that we're not going to get down to this number, and it allows us some time to also look at what opportunities from a gap funding standpoint we might be able to find. It may be MDC potentially putting in some additional dollars towards the project. It may be reallocating potentially. Obviously, there's some bureaucracy that we would need to go through and approvals, but maybe perhaps reallocating some of the construction dollars that we had set aside for East 3rd Street with CDBG towards this project in order to get it moving forward. So we ask for those two, for that consideration today. It's disappointing, but I think that hopefully we will be able to get lower bids, but I do think we're going to have to find that gap funding in order to make this happen. And I think it's an important enough project that we'll be able to figure that out. And happy to stand for any questions you might have.
Mr. Chair, because of the problems we ran into based on the scope of this project and not being able to get adequate bidding based on that scope, I would recommend that our parking and streetscape committee take a look at a long-range view of streetscape in the downtown area and see if we can bundle some projects together to make it a more worthwhile size. Give us a vision going forward as to what streetscape is going to be. I drove down Pine Avenue this morning coming to this meeting at 7 o'clock. It looks fantastic. If I had a home on that street right now, I would be jumping for joy. I mean, it looks great. It's safe. It's pedestrian friendly. And that's kind of the vision we want for the whole downtown area. Area, including the residential area around here. But to achieve that in the 8 years that we have left, I think we need a plan and see how we can incorporate the CDBG dollars, our money, and so forth, and put together something that is going to be viable for a contractor.
That's a good idea.
And Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Bassalone, that is one of the conversations that Caleb and I did have as well, too, as if we were to go out to bid at the same time for this and East 3rd Street construction, you know, would there be, even though they're not, in the, you know, immediately adjacent to one another, but they are within a two-block area of one another, perhaps there would be some efficiencies with that. So we will look at everything that we possibly can and come back with a recommendation on how to proceed.
And it could include curbs and gutters. It could be a lot of things that would
sure.
You know,
are you on that committee?
He is the chairman of that committee.
Volunteering yourself for
that. Yeah, I think you may be the chair of that committee.
There you have.
Can I get a refresher on, so this project is the one that originally came from the city, but they can't take the money. So then it came to us. And then we had a map where there was a whole bunch of places that are missing sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of them were selected, but not necessarily, not all of them. It was a bunch of them were actually selected by a committee, and then that was turned into an RFP. So I think your idea is a good idea, but I think there's even more homework that needs to be done, because one of the problems with that was the format of how we even got to here. In a world where construction costs aren't 40% higher than they normally are, maybe this would have been a good idea. But now it's not a good idea anymore. You can't just look at a map and just go, well, I like this one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and it's 10 8-foot sections of sidewalk and expect to get an affordable project, because they can do that same 8-foot prep or a 50-foot run for probably similar costs just based on not having to continually and not, I think not just the scope, but like, it needs to be done with this in mind now. This is double the cost of what we had. We're not even close. If we go out in the winter, we'll get a lower, we'll get more reasonable bids because people will be trying to line up their jobs for the beginning of the year to get rolling, whereas right now, everybody's just trying to cram everything in before it freezes. So it is the right time to go out to bid again, but I don't think we should go out to bid with the same map. I think we need to go out to bid with something more intelligent.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Mueller, before Commissioner Bachelet, excuse me, this is a HUD-approved project, and at this point, and I can have Caleb jump in if necessary, but I think if we were to change the scope at this time, there would be implications. And it may be something that we do consider in that, in just paying back the design fees that we've already incurred and then just taking it off the HUD books at this time. But I think if we were to make changes at this time, as you're suggesting, with using HUD dollars, we would find ourselves in trouble. That's the challenge that we have with us.
We have a rough and hard spot because essentially it's HUD approved dollars, but the money that's approved isn't even close to funding it.
Sure.
Like you said, then there's a gap problem. But if there's a gap problem, we're going to spend a bunch of money on sidewalks. We should spend money on sidewalks that are actually strategic, not scattered all over the city.
Well, and Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Mueller, this is actually a connected section on Carlton and East Fifth, and the reason why this portion was selected over all the other sections is because it's because of school access.
Mr. Chair, I agree with you, Nathan, as far as the kind of the hodgepodge, sporadic nature of this and how it affects costs and so forth. And that's why I'm bringing up the point that we need to look at the overall vision for it, incorporating all those little hodgepodge spots into a totality of what we're trying to do for downtown. And then see where we can leverage funds to do it. Certainly, if we could do this one little section on Carlton that we've had planned in the winter time for a reasonable amount of money, do it. But the reality is that as we look at all these little individual projects, we're going to probably run into the same problem as we go along, unless we have some kind of agreement with the contractor that, there's a larger scope here, and start in with us, and let's see if we can grow together. If we need to do something that is kind of more visionary, in my estimation, to include all this. And I'm not discounting all the work done by city staff to outline the areas of need. They all need to be incorporated into this vision. So it's just taking a look at it and see where our funding can come from and how we can leverage it and get more bang for the buck.
So right now, I don't know how many sidewalks we're talking about, the Carlton project and stuff like that. We're talking about, we had a 153K budget, and we came in at over double that, right?
And that was actually with contingencies built in as well,
right.
Too.
So I think to help inform, on our annual budget, including every single thing that we have as far as dollars and flow, the 900,000 range or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've got another volunteer for the parking committee.
I want us to be able to make these decisions based on, we have to understand, paving one section of a street and doing nice sidewalks is maybe an annual budget for an entire year, right? And then we got to weigh that against projects like the one that we just approved for this whole entire block that cost us hundreds of hours. But very little money, right? It cost us, $250,000 probably by the time all said and done, the properties that we bought over here, different things. So there's a lot to be weighed here. I'm not campaigning for one or the other, it's just there's a lot of stuff in play, and we gotta be able to understand it in light of the entire
that point I'm making, yeah.
Any other? I'll stop that.
Sure.
Just one point, and we'll talk about it more at the committee level, but just a point of clarification, these funds are not the Urban Renewal District dollars, they're the CDBG grant dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even a different pot of funds than you're talking about, and the city gets about $400,000 in total on an annual basis, so that's the constraint we're really under, is making the right projects.
Right.
That are within that budget that we get the allocation.
Well, to be clear, we picked one, and we have $153,000, and then it came in at twice that, right? So I know that that's not our money, it's just if this project's gonna get done, either the city's gonna pay the other half somehow, or we're going to, is what it sounds like.
And again, Mr. Chair, I think that's what the options will outline the options going forward. We've already verbally kind of talked about them, but they haven't been vetted through the committee, and we'll bring that back and figure out what the best case is going forward, because we've come with three or four, just spitball on them, so. And now the fifth, we really didn't, aside from the Third Street project, we really didn't talk about. The 99 sidewalk projects that we looked at 2 years ago, it was strategic in picking this block, but we haven't really rolled that conversation back into this one. So we'll do that as well.
Mr. Chair, and I do think, because this is CDBG money, and it is a connection for Safe Routes to School, maybe even looking at leveraging, and I don't know if this would qualify for ACHD contributions as well, but the more we can show a master plan, I think, to Nathan's point, to start collecting all these different projects that we're doing, whether it's sidewalks or one block projects, facade improvements, I don't know how far along the Pine and Meridian project is, but it's trying to get an overall vision of where all our dollars are going and what sources of funding are they? Are they TIF? Are they CDBG? Are they, would some of these qualify for ACHD's program for sidewalk improvements that we can start leveraging some of it? It's just trying to get a master plan and be able to visualize, but also to actually calculate where are those investments going. I think it would be helpful for Ashley, even in her conversations with people within the Urban Renewal District, to show where those various investments are going and how they're building on each other, because they all will relate to one another too. We just did a sidewalk audit with the Mayor's Youth Advisory Council, and what an interesting process that is. And maybe this is something that parking, sidewalk, we have so many titles for that committee, but maybe it's getting youth and people we want to attract into downtown and seniors to go and walk the streets. It's really interesting what you hear. It's interesting in sidewalk width. They talked about how the benches blend into the sidewalk so you can't even see them. I never thought that. You're almost tripping over them. But, you know, they want them more conversational. They want them colorful. They see where lights are and where they aren't. They notice the sidewalks. And 5-foot sidewalks are not something they get excited about because they don't feel safe, especially on Meridian Road. So, you know, it's maybe having an overall vision, talking about it, but then getting all of us out there walking them too and hearing what people say, it you start looking at things a lot differently. And those kids, you know, one of their big light bulbs were, I never walked down here. And I really like it. They wouldn't change a whole lot.
high schoolers, maybe parents whose children go to Meridian Elementary and so forth, to really talk about their downtown and how they want the connectivity to be. And that will then inform us. And I think that, you know, our committee already involves ACHD, the parking streetscape, whatever it is, our lengthy committee. It does involve ACHD representatives, and it does involve some people from the community and so forth. And that really is the place to discuss all this and to see how everybody can come to the table and contribute. Nick is there representing MDBA, mm-hmm. you know, and that really is the place to do it. And Caleb is always a great resource, as is Brian with the streetscape plans and all that that's already been done. So a lot of preliminary work has been done. It's just a matter of just expanding it out to make sure it encompasses the whole area.
Well, any more comments? Matt? So we still need to consider the resolution, correct? So, Council, like, would you read the title, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This is Resolution 18-047, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, rejecting all bids submitted for the East Carlton area CDBG sidewalk and street improvement project, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement this resolution and provide an effective date.
Thank you. Do you have a motion?
I'm going to approve Resolution Number 18-047 as written.
So, motion by Commissioner Vassalone and second by Commissioner Blatt. Is there any discussion? If none, we'll do a roll call vote. Blasek.
Aye.
Commissioner Bird.
Aye.
Commissioner Geer. Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan.
Aye.
Commissioner Vassalone.
Aye.
I'm aye as well. So we'll try again in a couple more months. It's opening season.
Right.
Okay, on to discussion items. Ashley,
Some of y'all from the board know this already because you've heard me discuss this at City Council yesterday. We have received an update from Union Pacific. It's just more of a, hey, we haven't forgotten about you. Here are some things that are going on with our organization, the reason why we are delayed in getting you comments. And mostly that is due to a lot of internal reorganization of the real estate division for Union Pacific. We are lucky that the gentleman that we've been working with is still in place and still over the state of Idaho. However, his territory has shifted significantly, so he has been trying to get up to speed. His boss has been reassigned, and so he has a new boss in place. So the goal is to hopefully get first round of comments back on our application by the end of this calendar year. There's no promises, but that's what we're all hoping for. He did indicate that there's no outstanding questions for us at this time. He didn't seem to indicate there was any major concern on his part, but he did want to just make sure that we knew that we have not been forgotten.
Their tone was actually cool, though. He was like super apologetic and sorry that this is taking so long.
Yes, he was.
A lot different than what we're used to. Right? So that's progress.
Just
wondering.
Yeah. Exactly. So I know a lot of you all have been concerned and questioning, you know, have we heard anything? This is where we are at this point. I wish we were a little bit further in the process. He knows we're anxious to get moving forward as we do have dollars budgeted this fiscal year. We also need to be able to do some further environmental testing on the property because we were not able to do that other than a visual inspection with the site visit that we had last fall. You know, I think we have a good partner with UP. I think they're just going through a lot of internal reorganization, and that, unfortunately, is just affecting some time frames for us. So I will keep you informed as soon as I can. I know that we're all anxious to be able to hopefully get some resolution one way or another. Mr. Ross?
Yeah, Ashley, what's happening with the pro-build part of the whole operation? Their lease on the property that we
Commissioner Bassel, members of the board, they are currently in construction for their consolidation of their operations. They're still utilizing the site between Main and East Third just because they need to for staging purposes. But once the project is complete, the only thing that they would like to be able to sublease from us, assuming that we can get that lease with Union Pacific, is for some employee parking on the most eastern section of that block. But other than that, they're not going to need access to the site. So.
Did they indicate about how many spaces they might need for that?
Commissioner, Chairman Winder, members of the board, yes, they did. And I don't have that number off the top of my head. I want to say it was close to about 30 to between 30 and 50-ish, somewhere in that realm. They start on August 14th.
Yeah, so they've got, I walk over there when I'm on the phone, so they're going nuts over there. So they're moving fast. I think they're supposed to be done at the end of this year, actually.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
I think need to keep the homeowners on Broadway that are across from ProBuild informed on what's happening with all of this, because they're seem to be a lot of rumors about out there about trucks running 24 hours a day or something like that. And I don't know what the city code requirements are as far as truck in the residential area there, but I was at a meeting of the city council a few weeks ago, and one of the ladies, one was at the business day, when we were here for the business day, and she lives across the street. Trucks 24 hours a day or whatever, and you know, I'm not aware of any of that, and I can't see the city permitting that in a residential area, but I think there needs to be communication with specifically with those residents that are across the street from ProBuild to reassure them about what's happening as well.
So I'm on the PR committee, so we actually reached out to frankly, none of this is our deal. Like, we helped encourage them in that direction, right? And then they responded, which was great, because they're working with us. But it's none of it's our deal. And we actually went to them and asked if they would like PR help to keep the neighborhood kind of informed. They said yes. And originally, we were going to do a joint like PR release with them, explaining the changes. They are consolidating, and they're actually moving a lot of the stuff that required the most trucks, like all their cabinets, for example, are being moved off-site, so they're not going to be there anymore. So all the guys that are running cabinets all day are all leaving. The rail spur is coming in, so they are unloading in the middle of the road in Dust Bowl. So there's a lot of good things coming. We asked if they wanted to do that. Initially, they kind of said yes, and they're going to have a ribbon cutting. I don't know why they changed their mind. Either they change their mind on, I'd rather, when this is done, have a grand opening and then have people hear it at that point and we can explain it when they can see it with their own eyes, or they're just in a hurry and they just decided, let's do this afterwards. But their feedback to us was essentially, I think they're still interested in doing some joint PR and explanations and stuff, but they're not really interested in doing it until they have a grand opening.
Well,
we can't force them.
No, I realize that, but I think we should inform them that there are concerns, and if they are, I think that just an outreach to them would be helpful, because more transparency, the better. And I'm not talking about a big, you know, explaining everything. I think they have some very specific concerns that need to be addressed, and I think that that's what I would try to get to.
They're not really good at communicating.
Yeah, I would say I've done a fair amount of outreach with them to try to convince them to do this early, and they want to go with more the grand opening route. So
I think it's just a matter of us clarifying what they're permitted to do. You know, as a company, you know, it should be public record that they have to get permits to do things. So what are those permits? Not at all.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I will reach out to Mike Cruz and let him know that this concern was mentioned at a recent meeting. And I do know they have a woman who is starting to attend the MDBA meetings on behalf, excuse me, on behalf of ProBuild. And I think she's supposed to be more of that outreach person as well. And so I'll just mention that to him, and maybe they want to do.
The issues are, you're right.
Talk to their neighbors.
We can't do the PR first. But code enforcement is actually in charge of doing that.
That's not code enforcement's responsibility. You just give a
picture. Well, is that everything on Union Pacific, actually?
Yes, unless anyone has any further questions. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I don't have an additional update from Brighton Corporation. I'm sure everybody saw the story that was on the news a couple of nights ago from with Tommy Alquist and Kristen Armstrong and their new facility that they're going to have at 10 Mile Crossing. I always try to reverse those. So exciting times and 10 Mile. That's the only new piece of information that I have regarding that district. In the back part of your packets are the upcoming committee meetings. We will have both of our property and downtown parking committee meetings next week. Just wanted to point out the Chamber's Economic Excellence Breakfast on the 23rd. If you're interested, it's going to be transportation focused. And then the city's Trunk or Treat is October 25th, and a good time should be had by all. They're both the 17th. I'm sorry, Dan.
They're both on which day?
They're both on the 17th.
On the
17th. Wednesday. I'm sorry. Got a little happy there, apparently, with numbering. The only thing that I was going to mention is this additional packet that you have is what was presented to the City Council yesterday for our, it's a little bit more than a quarter, but our quarterly report to the City Council. I mentioned that they were probably sick of seeing us because we've spent a lot of time together over the last few months, but gave them, you know, a summary of basically the big projects. This doesn't include every little thing that we do, but it gives them at least a big sense of what we're trying to accomplish. We didn't really receive any questions other than the standard debt questions that we have on the Compass BRT building.
Which wasn't a question.
Which really wasn't a question.
Can somebody please explain to Luke that he was an NDC member and voted yes on that day? So he just stopped asking.
I was very good yesterday. I did not say a word about that.
I was going to save this for the chairman's report, but I'll speak up now. But Steve and Dan and I were all there, and the mayor, of course, because she was in the meeting. But I thought Ashley did a very good job, and with the exception of the one question about the debt and which properties are encumbered by it and all that kind of stuff, the presentation went really well, and they were very complimentary of Ashley. Cavanaugh was extremely complimentary regarding the Frontier Tire building.